welcome to the C-Suite Hot Seat, the podcast where we put language industry leaders in the chair and ask the questions that usually stay off the slide deck. I'm Eddie Arrieta, CEO at Multilingual Media, and today we're talking with someone who sits at the intersection of enterprise technology, AI, and global content. Our guest is Estefan Chinguino, Chief Technology Officer at Accolade. As CTO, Estefan is responsible for shaping how one of the world's largest language service providers integrates AI, automation, and governance into real enterprise workflows. Today, we're not just talking about tools and roadmaps, we're talking about trade-offs, hype, leadership decisions, and what the future actually looks like. From the CTO's seat, Estefan, welcome to the hot seat.
Thank you for having me.
Estefan, you've been very great, very flexible with us, and we really appreciate it. For those in our audience that might not know you, might not know Accolade, what is it, or how would you describe what you do at Accolade at the C-level for those that might not know you and Accolade?
Yes, sure. And so I joined Accolade a bit more than a year ago. I'm not from this industry, but I'm bringing 20 years of experience building mission-critical SaaS products. And I had the chance to do it across different verticals, from marketing to supply chain to HR. And so I've led diverse teams across Europe, US, and China, and I'm bringing my experience to this organization. And today I'm leading Accolade AI and product innovation, and focusing specifically on integrating seamless and data-driven localization products into customer workflows in order to drive scalable growth for them. And so that's what I'm doing on a daily basis.
Thank you, Estefan. And of course, coming from that outside perspective, I assume as you come in and you start collaborating with other C-level executives, some things about our industry might have come as a surprise to you. Is there anything that surprised you as you came into the industry?
You know, when I joined Accolade, so many people around me were questioning actually my decision. They thought that this industry was dying, and AI would replace all translators. However, I saw an industry in the middle of a major shift. And I wanted actually to lead that change from the inside. Obviously, there are some things that I discovered. And one of the key challenges are actually, we were talking briefly about it, are misconceptions. You know, they are especially on the client side. They think that, for example, there is the magic button miss. You know, many executives think that you can just put raw text into a generic AI and you will get perfect results. This is definitely a misconception. And so that's one thing. Another part is the automation illusion. You know, it's also like, we have introduced a new tool that automates everything. It's going to be perfect. But automation is just, it's not just moving file faster. It's about how you are able to make smart decision in a very fast fashion. And so that's what matters. And that's also very important. It's very important to recenter the discussion toward that. And the other thing, it's a belief also that, you know, one solution can do everything. In reality, localization is much more complex, and it requires some specialized solution like ours in order to perform high quality localization. And so that's what has been surprising me. It's all the myths and misconception that this industry was facing.
That's really wonderful that you tackled that right away, Estefan. And when you see all the, and you encounter all these misconceptions and you're able to identify them, how do you help your team and how have you worked with your clients to help them get educated? How do you go about the process of making sure that the misconceptions start kind of like dissipating?
Yes. So, usually, I mean, the most important thing when you know, it's not the first time, first of all, that I enter a new industry. And in every case, I mean, the most important thing for me has been always to start by listening, observing, and looking at how things have been doing for and running for a long time. And very importantly, respect that, because there was a reason why it was done that way. But it doesn't mean that it should not prevent us from changing it and potentially changing it completely. And so, my approach actually with AI specifically, you know, it's not the first time also that I've been implementing AI solution. And I usually follow, I would say, and I've learned also three main things. The first thing is that you need to trust your intuition with AI, because AI, you need to, it involves endless experimentation. You need to constantly test. And so you need to develop a kind of gut feeling. You need to make some bets sometime and test it and see if it works and then iterate from that. That's the first thing. The second thing is that measurement is mandatory. You know, I've seen project fail because they didn't have a clear way to measure the success of this project. And the other thing, and so you must to have a strong framework to evaluate your results. And the last one is speed matters. We are in a fast-paced environment, and it's very important to move fast. And so when we work with clients, it's also very important to work on those three different axes and three dimensions. So being able to iterate, ensure that we have the right framework in place in terms of quality, so we define the right measurement with the client and we align with that. And the third one is that when we are aligned, we move fast. And that's also very important. That's my approach to AI.
Thank you. Thank you. And of course, this helps me think the way in which you think. You're talking a lot about structure, a lot about, you know, foundational level conversations. And in that regard, Accolade is very vocal about governance first AI. What does that actually look in practice, especially with regulations like the AI Act coming into play soon?
That's correct. So Accolade is born in Europe. So it's European made by nature. Now it's global, but the root is in Europe. And Europe is indeed very much into regulation and ensuring that there is some form of governance around AI. And so we are investing significantly in this area to ensure that we are compliant with those regulations. And it's not only governance by itself. It's of course practices, methodologies, etc. But it's how we root that into also our product. And so in our LIA ecosystem, every piece of text has a provenance tag, I would say, and we track everything. We ensure also that every AI that we are using or we developed ourselves is also compliant, and that's also very important. And we follow, and we have been at the forefront of the AI Act to ensure that we are compliant, and we require, where it's needed, human oversight especially for everything that is at high risk, as mentioned in the European AI Act.
Thank you, Stefan. Of course, you've mentioned this a little bit when you were talking about the misconceptions as you come into the industry, what you see around that. If we can come back a little bit into that idea, you've seen some promises that we have regarding artificial intelligence, and it comes a lot with this elevated idea of automation, this elevated idea of AI capabilities. For you, what's the most overhyped promise in language technology right now?
Oh, the overhype. I would say what is overhype is certainly what I would call the zero-shot translation. And so This idea that you can get perfect on brand content without previous data or training. And so it's like you put something in a system, and it's going perfectly. No, it requires some preparation. You need to give the model and the system, the context, some of your assets, etc. So it requires just a little bit more than just a model. It's more complex than that. So that's what I've been overhyped, certainly, because some people are presenting some solution as like you plug, you use it, and it's run perfectly for you. No, that's not the case.
Yes. Sorry, I interrupted you there. But it's what we've seen everywhere, right? Some are, you know, overpromise now and worry about that later, so that you can confirm the contracts and confirm the projects, but without really thinking things through. On the flip side as well, there are some promises, and I don't want you, of course, to share all the Accolade secrets. However, what are some of the underrated developments that you see companies, your potential clients as well, are not paying enough attention to that would be significant for growth?
I think that overall, I mean, AI, everyone has been looking at AI to and implement AI on their main work overall. But you have a lot of other areas where you can apply AI and that will deliver amazing results. And so it's more, you know, the paper cut fixes. When you have, when you are in my role, you are managing a backlog. And usually, I mean, the bottom of the backlog is not really addressed. You always have the top of your backlog that you focus on. But with AI, you have the ability to actually address this long tail of small things, but that could have indeed still a big impact. And so I strongly believe that AI also is changing in my world, I mean, the ways that we can do things, and even for clients. And so we can deliver more, we can do a lot more for our clients, and that's the same for our clients themselves. I mean, they could use AI on a lot of very small things. I was, for example, discussing not a long time ago with a client, and he was focusing on a very important step of the translation that he wanted to improve through AI. But there was another part, which was SEO metadata, that he could also optimize with AI, and he can automate. And so we, from translation, we started discussion also marketing, I would say, things, and it was also very important. And that's where also we could have a big impact also with transcreation and creating SEO metadata.
It's really interesting, Stefan, and you're mentioning a little bit your backlog. And I'm curious to understand a little bit about how, you know, you integrate the conversations that you're having with your partners, the conversations that you're having with your clients, and how that translates into prioritization. So as you're facing these customer demands, how do you decide where to invest? AI, automation, synthetic voices, multimodal translation, all of the above, all in intensity. We know this is all very costly when we talk about technical production. So how do you think about these things?
You know, I do not prioritize on buzzwords. I prioritize on what matters for our clients and on the market. So I always look at the pain points, at the needs, at the challenges, and my role is for all of them to find solutions. And so my prioritization framework is clearly based on impact, having an impact on our clients. That's what matters to me, and that's how I prioritize things. Obviously, I mean, we have some topics when we build roadmaps, for instance. I mean, we have work streams with different topics that we want to address for the year, but those are coming from discussion with our clients. And you have a lot of, below that, you have a lot of small items. So yes, we are investing in AI. Yes, we are investing on automation. And when it comes down to specific features, etc., this is always prioritized with the impact in mind. So it's a value-based, I would say, prioritization framework.
Are your clients really good at not bringing you buzzwords? How are you dealing with that? Because I assume, you know, we are all influenced by our context, what others are saying, by those companies that are bringing you these solutions, over-promising things. Do you get some of that, or are your clients really mature at always bringing exactly what will bring value to them?
It's, you know, all our clients are different, and we love them all. So, of course, there are some buzzwords, but those buzzwords are also linked to real world struggles. And so, from a tech perspective, we are, I mean, in the end, because we have a wide variety of clients, we work on a bit of everything. I mean, the good thing with Accolade, one of the major LSPs, is that we do when we talk about localization, it's from interpreting to translation to dubbing to, and all of that. It means that we are, from a tech perspective, we have to be multimodal. and I'm not talking specifically about the models, but I'm talking about my team and the technology that we are using, and so that makes things quite exciting. And especially since I joined, one of the very important thing was not necessarily to at first say build products. Building products can only be done when you have a great team. And so the first thing that I did when I joined Accolade was to reshape the team, ensure that we have the right methodologies, the right mindset in order to deliver. And so last year at Accolade, I mean, internally, you didn't really necessarily see it, but we made a lot of changes. I'm talking about my team, and I can tell you that I have an amazing team, and we have been working hard. And in 2026, you will see that a lot of things that will be coming from my team, a lot of things that we will release, new products, and it's going to be exciting in a lot of different areas. And so I'm pretty excited by 2026 and the road ahead.
We'll be super happy to be following your announcements and multilingual media, probably getting some interviews in localization today. So thank you for sharing that. We are excited for Accolade. And hopefully this year I will visit the Paris offices. I'm going to be in Europe, so I'm going to make an effort to go to Accolade and then talk to the team directly over there.
Excellent. You're always welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. And I will have a real French pastries and coffee over there for sure. I'll be reading. It's going to be hard to work from Paris, right? I'm going to be romanticized. I'm already over romanticized. And I just want to go there, read and write. That's what I want to do. But coming back to our conversation here, you talked about the changes that you implemented in your team and the things that probably are different now. Not all the bets that you have brought probably worked. Is there anything you can tell us about the things that worked really well and the things that perhaps didn't work as well? Just to get a sense for those that are in this journey of leading teams.
The things that have worked, I would say, are definitely, usually when you come to an organization, and that was a bit the case at Accolade, there were some silos. Different team, but not very much working all together. And so one of my role was to leverage those people, those assets, and ensuring and showing that when we collaborate with broader people, with cross-functional team, I mean, we are stronger. And that's also coming from my past experience, because I had the chance to manage team in a lot of different countries. And so I very much cherish and value diversity. And so each time, what is very important for me is to use this diversity, because diversity brings a lot of richness. It means that when you are trying to solve a problem by having people from different countries, different culture, etc., they come with a different perspective on the same problem. But by sharing those perspectives, they are stronger altogether. And so that's very important. And that's where we have been quite good at that. I mean, Accolade, my team is very distributed across the globe. And I believe that's a great asset for tomorrow. So this is definitely something that has been working very well and delivering already a lot of great results. Was there anything that didn't work well? I would not say so. And if that's the case, it has been fixed because we are in a constant improvement. Yes. An organization is a living ecosystem. And so it's constantly moving. And I like also introducing movement in everything that I do, because I was telling you that also, and you know that, I mean, we are in an environment, in an industry overall, but also in a world where everything moves fast. And if we are not ourselves being able to move also, to adapt constantly to changes, and imagine that if we are static, we are in conflict with this world. And how can we be performant and successful in this moving world? And so that's also very important, to have a constant change and adjustment and looking at ourselves, how we can be better. That's what drives me, and that's what I also work constantly with my team. How we can perform better as a team, how we can deliver more for our clients, how we can get more clients. All of that is something that we review constantly.
Thank you, Stefan, because it really puts the conversation at the, you know, in the right place. And it is famously said that great leaders are measured by their ability to say no to amazing ideas. And all the ideas that your team has are so amazing, but you cannot do everything. So you got to pick from amazing ideas some great things that you can't work on. Is there anything you can say about that?
You know, I mean, the challenge is not necessarily usually, and that's my own experience, and maybe somebody would have a different experience, but it's not necessarily to say no. It's to be able to listen all the great ideas, because usually the ideas are always, in a lot of organizations, coming from the same type of or the same person. I believe that ideas could come from anybody. And you have people that are more vocal than others. But when you drive product innovation, your role is to listen to all the signals, from the very low to the very high and very, very noisy one, and then to prioritize all of that. But the very first step, which is very important, is our ability to collect as much as information as we can, and to have a data-driven organization where we can look at those things, evaluate them, measure the impact, and potentially the impact could be also done, and this evaluation can be measured thanks to testing. And then we developed and we deliver. But again, the very important step, more than saying no or yes, is getting the information, because you can miss some very critical and superb ideas that would be a success for tomorrow if you always listen to the same person.
And do you have any specific structures, spaces, any sort of structure within the company that allows for that feedback to come in? Are there any tools that you have? Does this happen during your one-on-ones, your standalone meetings? How does that work?
No, it's to have a good. The first thing is to have a good and a strong product organization, because that's the role of product management. The role of product management is to indeed be in touch and feel the market overall. And so internal people, external people. And so I rely. And so when I joined, I mean, the product manager at Accolade were very much centered around Accolade itself. And the goal had been to change this mindset and to say, those product managers, they need to be customer centric. They need to be in touch with clients. They need to understand the market. And so we made a big change last year by changing all of that and having a more robust product organization that is able to collect those information. And it starts again with the right mindset.
Okay, Stefan, tell me what advice or concepts has you gotten from other leaders that help you do what you do?
You know, first of all, I believe that everybody in his career has met some people that have been essential in the growth, and that has been my case. And so usually, because I'm somebody who definitely love challenges, I like complex situation, but I learned also how to manage those complex situations, because I would, of course, I accepted to be put in those situations, but in the first place, those situations were proposed to me. And so one of the biggest advice is that I would say, even for very young people, is that if you are one of your manager or leaders who trust you, who believe that you can do it, there is no imposter syndrome or Don't be afraid of failing. People trust you, are seeing what you are capable of, and so trust them too in return. Trust them and do what they are expecting you to do, because most likely you will succeed. Of course, you will go to a discomfort zone. That's okay. That's how we grow overall. People don't grow if they are not put in a very uncomfortable situation. That's what I believe. And this is coming from my own experience and from advices, of course, that I got from key people in my career that I had the chance to meet.
Thank you, Stefan. Can you give me a little bit of your experience or your take on patience? How do you deal with that?
When you are a CTO, so you are dealing with technology. And technology overall is full of surprise. And so, of course, you have to be patient. I mean, I'm constantly looking at the future. And my role is to define the vision, having the target in mind, where we want to go. And of course, I'm constantly impatient. I want the things that we are currently discussing with my team to be delivered tomorrow. So there is a constant frustration for me. But that's okay. I'm living with that. So, but what is also very important is that along the road, when you are building all those things, you have a lot of issues because technology is full of surprise. And so you could have delay, you could have incident, and it's very important to stay patient, to stay calm, because that's how you ensure that the team stay focused, laser focus on what matters. The worst thing would be to be stressed and to communicate my stress to the team. And so that's very important for me before dealing with technology. Of course, I'm passionate about technology, but the first thing is that I'm a people manager. And my role is to ensure that my team is safe, is focused on what matters, and have the right environment to bring innovation and deliver value to our clients. And so patience is part of that.
Thank you very much, Stefan, for your takes. Is there anything else you'd like to say before ending the recording?
No, it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for having me. And hopefully some people will contact me. So feel free to contact me anytime on LinkedIn for those who listen or watch. Would be happy to chat. It's always a pleasure to meet people, to discuss, to be challenged on some ideas. So feel free to do so.
Okay, Stefan, thank you very much.
But we want to thank him for his candid perspective on technology, on AI leadership, and the realities behind technology shaping our industry. Remember, if you enjoyed this conversation, you can find more episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Subscribe, rate, comment so that others can find the show. Remember, I'm Eddie Arrieta, and this was the C-Suite Hot Seat. Goodbye.